Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They would be the shepherds came with haste. The moment that they found out the Christ child was born, they ran to find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. John 14, verse 6, one of the greatest statements that Jesus ever made on this earth. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want to finish our series on Away in a Manger. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is a way maker, not a wayfinder. You may be seated. John 14, 6 ends with this statement that Jesus makes, that nobody else has the nerve to make these kinds of statements. Buddha lived all of his life preaching truth and peace, talking about the way and a way, but at the end of Buddha's life, he told all of his followers, he said, I pursued truth, but I never found truth. If I was a Buddhist, I'd be worried that the leader of my religion lived all of that time and lived in what he called and people around him called an enlightened age in Buddha's life, yet he never found truth. Jesus didn't have to find truth because every time he looked in the mirror, he saw truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am life. When we understand, as Jesus would make the statement, that no one comes to the Father except through me, I want to encourage you, if you are sitting here today, if you are not here in the 9 a.m. service, do yourself a favor between now and Christmas Day to listen to the 9 a.m. service, because Bishop preached an amazing word on what happened in Bethlehem and that Jesus opened the door, because he is the door. Jesus opened the world of heaven and the world of access to God as a baby in a manger. Last week, we talked about all of the different ways that people were looking for, that the innkeeper didn't see any way, and so he said no to the birth of Jesus happening in his motel. That the shepherds were looking for a better way. Jewish shepherds had heard all of their life on the greatness of Jehovah, but they had grown tired of doing all of the systems and procedures and protocols that come with religion. And they were looking for the Christ child in a better way. And then the wise men would come a couple years into Jesus' life, and they were looking for a different way. Astronomy and astrology had failed them, and they had learned all that they knew to learn. And when this star shows up, and tomorrow they're calling it the Christmas star, when Jupiter and Saturn will align, and that will be a very bright star tomorrow evening. And it was just like that the wise men that looked up in the stars for most of their life, as they learned, became fascinated that there was something brand new on the horizon and a different way had showed up, and that different way was Jesus. We talked in very lastly about Mary and Joseph were looking for a new way. And a new way is an amazing thing. And what I've learned in leadership and what I've learned in life is there are a lot of ways to get a job done. And one of the things that you have to learn as a leader is there's more than your way to get the job done. But what I found in Jesus is he is the way. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other religion that's going to save you. There's no other God, little g, that is going to meet you at the doorstep of eternity and take you in. But I'm glad that I'm in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church this morning, that not only do we worship the Jesus in a manger, not only did we follow him to the cross, but most of us have followed him to the upper room, and we realize that he is alive today as he ever has been. He's got just as much power today as he did when he was walking on the face of this earth. Aren't you glad that you found a new way to live? Aren't you glad that you don't have to club hop anymore looking for the right relationship? Aren't you glad, come on, some of you that have been freed from addiction, aren't you glad that you're not having to put something up your nose, down your throat, or in your veins to get a high that only Jesus can give you? I'm glad that I got freed from religion. I grew up in church, but I'm glad that I met the new way named the new man named Jesus and the new way named Jesus. And I want to encourage you on this Sunday Eve to Christmas that no matter what's going on around you, if you'll just allow Jesus to be born afresh and to be born again and to be born anew in your life, it will change everything. If you are a mom, just wave your hand at me. How many of you mom can attest to the fact that the moment you had the baby, it changed everything? It changed your sleep pattern. You went from 4 hours to no hours. Come on now. You learn to nap when your baby naps. You learn to get whatever you can get done in those few moments. Why? Because this thing has shown up in your life in the form of this baby, and it changed your life. Well, think of it in these terms. Just as the baby that you brought into this world changed your world, there was a baby that came 2,000 years ago that didn't just change Mary and Joseph's world. It changed the world. Every time an atheist writes a check, they're testifying that there was a baby named Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. He split the timeline, BC and AD. Christmas, every person in the world, most every person in the world, is pausing in 5 days. If they really didn't believe in Jesus, they would beg to go to work. Come on now. If they really didn't believe in Jesus, they'd beg to go to school on Friday. But everybody in our nation will pause. The banks are closed. Government offices are closed. People put up nativity scenes. We put up Christmas trees. We put lights around them. We put presents under them. We exchange gifts. All because a new way showed up 2,000 years ago. If Jesus hadn't shown up, Friday would just be another day. If Jesus hadn't shown up, the second to last week of December would just be another week. But I'm so glad that God came down in flesh. And I loved what Bishop said this morning, that in Bethlehem, it was the first time humanity saw the other side of God. God literally fleshed out and said, listen, I sent men to do a job that only I can do. And so 2,000 years ago, he took humanity and put on his flesh suit, and he came down to this world and he said, I'm not going to come as a king. I'm going to come as a baby in a manger. Why? Because for 30 years, I've got to be tempted. I've got to be tested. I've got to be able to tell them, I know what you're going through. And then for those final 3 years, I've got to teach them the better way. Ooh, I like this. For 30 years, God lived like us. But for 3 years, he taught us how to live like him. And I want to encourage you, there is a better way. There is a different way. There is a new way. And his name is Jesus Christ. It is so much in me in this season of my life that, listen, I want to preach prosperity and I want to preach healing and I want to preach deliverance, but all those are byproducts of meeting a man named Jesus. Who cares if you get the gifts without having a relationship with the giver of those gifts? So from now until Jesus comes back the second time, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach him crucified. I'm going to preach him resurrected. I'm going to preach the power of God is available. You've lived like the world long enough. Now let's live like him. God is not a way finder. He is a way maker. Vision sees a way, but faith makes a way. Which brings us to this point as we look for a new way, and this world is shaking and quaking. And I don't know if you've noticed that this or not, but when you watch CNN and Fox News, the names have changed. The problems are still the same. People in the White House can change. The problems are still the same. And what our government has really, really exemplified over the last few years and the last couple decades is they've become really good at rearranging chairs on a Titanic that is sinking. But we, the church, are the greatest lifeboat in the world because our captain is Jesus. and he might be asleep on the back of the boat, but I can wake him up at any moment and he will come up and he will awaken and he will calm the storms. And let me encourage you, God doesn't sleep anymore. He slept in the back of the boat because he was wrapped in flesh. But 2,000 years ago when he rose up from the grave, he hadn't slept a wink since then. He's been awake watching you while you sleep. Forget about Santa Claus. God knows whether you've been naughty or nice. God has a list called the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to preach myself happy if I don't preach anybody else. It doesn't matter if I'm on good terms with the fat man in the red suit, because I'm on great terms with the man who bled red to save my life. Can I encourage you? There's a better way. And we know that way. He's captain of our ship. So you might be sitting here saying, Pastor Brandon, it's been a tough year. It's been a difficult year. Or maybe you're saying, it's been a tough 5 years. It's been a tough season. The last 10 years are 10 years I'd like to redo, forget, start over. I want to encourage you, there is a new way. I want to encourage you that we don't have to go back and relive those 10 years. God said, I will restore what the devil has stolen. When the thief is found out, Proverbs 6 and 7 says that, listen, when he's found out, you're going to get sevenfold for everything the devil has stolen from you. He said, I will restore the years that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the locust. Can I tell you that that can only happen through Jesus Christ? Quit looking to other sources and remember, the baby that was born in the manger didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He is all God. He's alive today, and he is the way. You're taking notes. Write this one down. God's greatest miracles happen on dead-end streets. God's greatest miracles happen on dead-end streets because he's not a wayfinder. He's a waymaker. I've got a problem with Siri on my iPhone. Because she's told me to turn left when there wasn't no road. She's told me I've missed my destination and I'm looking square at my destination. But in my faith journey, if I can be honest with you, it all is great when I have smooth sailing and smooth roads ahead. But every once in a while, God will say, turn right. And when I turn right, there's no road. And it is in those dead-end moments of my life that I say, God, you got it wrong, or I've got it wrong. And like I encouraged you a few services ago, it's never God's problem. He's never wrong. He's always right. And so if he tells me to go right and there's not a road, the moment that I begin to put some feet to my faith and start walking it out, a road will appear. Why? Because God doesn't have to find me a way to where he's called me to be. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. If you'll just start walking, God will start opening doors. If you'll just start serving, God will start opening opportunities. Why? Because he doesn't have to find a way. He is the way. He is the way. Jesus declares, I am the way in John 14, verse 6. This is one of the greatest revelations that Jesus gives on his time on earth. Why? Because he says the way is not a street. It's not a road. The way is not a program. It's not a path. The way is not even a belief. He says, the way is a person, and you're looking at it. So when we pray, we've got to change the verbiage of our prayer, church. And it cannot no longer be, God, show me the way. Because when you say, Jesus, show me the way, you're asking the way to show you the way. When you understand, when he said, I am the way, boom, it should change your whole thought process on the future and how it looks now. Because if Jesus said, I am the way, I don't have to know where the way is going. I don't have to see streets. I don't have to get involved in programs. When I know Jesus, I know the way. And if I walk with Jesus, there's always a way. And if I trust in Jesus, he'll make a way. And if I follow Jesus, there'll always be the way. That means anywhere at any time, the way can show up. The way came to us in a manger, church, but he didn't stay a baby. The way grew up and showed up when people needed him. Jesus came to make a way where there was not any way. Say, what kind of way? A way of salvation. You realize that if Jesus had not come like he came to fulfill the prophecy that was laid out in Isaiah, that was laid out by all of the prophets of where he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, what tribe he was coming out of. Jesus checks all of the boxes. And I'm here to tell you that I'm so glad that Jesus came, not so I could get a great gift on Friday. I'm so glad that Jesus came because your boy didn't want to hang on a cross. I don't want to have to do what Jesus did. And so when he showed up in a manger, I was excited because I know that's not where prophecy ended, church, but he was going to grow up. And at every point, he was going to be tempted, but he was not going to give in to that temptation. He was going to go like a lamb to slaughter, not opening his mouth. Why? Because he knew Brandon is going to need a way. Living Way is going to need a way. Sinners are going to need a way. And so I'm glad that he didn't stop at the manger, but he grew up, and the same wood that made a manger now makes a cross. And I knelt down at that cross and I said, God, thank you for making a way to save me. I'm sorry, Oprah, you're wrong. There's not many roads. Let me rephrase that. There are many roads, but only one leads to heaven. The others are dead ends. Sorry, Tom Cruise. Something that was invented in 1950 can't save you. I'm sorry, spiritual gurus, for those of you that say Jesus was a great man, Jesus was a great rabbi, he was a great teacher, but he is one of many ways. No, he's not. He is the only way to get to heaven. Why don't we celebrate Muhammad's birthday? Well, yeah, quiet. Y'all don't follow him. It's all right to laugh and giggle. Why don't we celebrate his resurrection? Oh, there is no resurrection. Well, why don't we celebrate these other world religions? Why don't we celebrate their leaders' births? Oh, their followers do. I love Jesus because Jesus said, I'm going to make such a splash. When I come onto the scene, even unbelievers are going to celebrate my birth. It happened in the Bible, and it still happens today. Why? Because that old cussing, heathen neighbor of yours has a Star of Bethlehem over his garage right now. Shepherds came to see him. Wise men who didn't know Jehovah came and worshiped him. There's only one God that was born, died, and resurrected. There's only one God that both those that know him and those that don't know him still bow and still recognize that he was born. Even heathens hide Easter eggs. Everybody pauses to say Jesus was born. And then in the spring, everybody pauses to say this Jesus, he was dead, but now he's alive. The greatest movie in worldwide box office is not The Avengers. It was The Passion of Jesus Christ. Why? Because people want to get a glimpse of this man called Jesus. And aren't you glad at Living Way, we didn't just catch a glimpse of him. I know him. He knows me. He created me in his image. I look like him. I talk like him. I act like him. I walk like him. I have the same spirit in me. He came to give us a way of salvation, a way of deliverance, a way of healing, of restoration, reconciliation, a way of prosperity. All of it flows because this man Jesus was born. If Jesus came to make a way in every area of our lives, then why do so many believers not receive the way? Why do they not walk in the way? Why do they not live in the way? God showed me this. There are so many believers that are living less than lifestyles. They get sick, they stay sick. They get broke, they stay broke. In and out of relationships. Divorced 3 or 4 times. And I'm talking about after they met Jesus, not before. None of that matters. I'm talking about after. And I say, God, why is that? Why do so many people know the way, but they won't embrace the way? And this is what he told me, and this shocked me. He says, Brandon, it has nothing to do with faith. He said, these are faith-filled people. It's not a faith issue. See, most of the time when we fall short, we blame it on a lack of faith. He said, it's not a lack of faith. They don't embrace the way because, check this out, I didn't come like they expected me to come. And when God shows up not looking like God, we tend to move past and say, you say, prove that. There are millions of Jews that love Jehovah, that know the prophecy better than you and I, that can quote the Pentateuch by chapter after chapter after chapter. They know the way Jesus shows up, and they never embraced him. You talk to a Jew right now, I'm not talking about one that has come to Jesus. I'm talking about if you talk to a Jewish person right now, they are still going to be talking as if Jesus has not shown up. We are waiting on the Messiah. I got news for you. The Messiah is waiting on you. He's already come 2,000 years ago. Hey, listen, we've been rocking this Jesus life for 2,000 years while you've been chanting on the Wailing Wall, waiting for the Messiah to come up. We've been praising God in the temple, in the sanctuary, in the firmament of his power. So it's not a faith issue. It's an issue that God sometimes does not show up like you think he's going to show up. He's not coming in on a black stallion with an army behind him saying, "This is the King of Kings, this is the Lord of Lords." Instead, he comes in naked, 8 pounds, 4 ounces. Nobody's there. Joseph and Mary crying in a cool Bethlehem night in a manger, in a barn where nobody knows he's there. And people miss it. Jesus preached every Sunday. People miss it. Jesus taught. Great podcast. You've got a Bible, 66 books of great teaching, great promises, salvation, deliverance, healing, anything you need, and we don't embrace it because it doesn't look like something that we'd want to embrace, because sometimes God doesn't give you the finished product. Sometimes God gives you the baby product, and you've got to mature and grow that thing and shape that thing like it's supposed to be. Somebody say amen. I'm running out of time. It's not a faith issue. We miss miracles because we look at it looks like a mess. We miss blessings because it looks like a burden. Let me just tell you without getting too graphic. When Jesus was born, he didn't look like a savior. I got bad news for every mama in the building. When you post your baby picture, that picture of your baby at 6 hours old, isn't he the most beautiful thing in the world? No, he's not. Looks like an alien. And we all think it. But we just hit heart emoji like, and we just, oh, that's a mother's love. Now, after a few months, their head is not as lopsided. Their head don't look like a kickball anymore. After you kick it, it's right. And so we miss it because he didn't come out as 33-year-old Jesus ready to go to the cross. He came out covered in blood. Come on now. Crying. Not preaching. Crying. And sometimes the voice in one season that will preach and save us in another season cries and annoys us. Same mouth. Come on, church. Same voice. What annoys us in one season will save us in the next season. What annoys us in one season will anoint us in the next season. Can I just encourage you that just because the way doesn't look like you thought it should look like, you better embrace Jesus with everything you have, because he's the only one that gets us to heaven, and he's the only one that makes this life make sense. We miss triumph because it looks like tragedy. We miss the Savior because it looks like a baby. We miss Messiahs because they look like infants. We must allow Christ to be born in every area of our lives and embrace him as the way. Give me two more minutes. There's three unlikelies here in this story that I want to tell you about, because the way comes in ways that we don't expect, we're not looking for, and then we miss that chance to embrace. Number one, the unlikely place, Bethlehem. Bethlehem has three meanings if you go by Arabic, by Hebrew, and by Greek. In Arabic, it's a word that is Beit Lehem. It means house of meat. Then the Hebrew is Bet Lehem, whereas where we get Bethlehem, it means house of bread. But the Greeks who did not grow up with Jehovah God, Bethlehem or Bethlehem, Bethlehem was the house of fertility. Even those that didn't know knew that this place is special. This place has the sustenance, the meat, the bread of life. But this place is going to be the most fertile place, because out of the loins of Bethlehem is going to be raised a Savior of the world, King of all the kings, Lord of all of the lords. Micah 5:2, Micah would prophesy, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou you are small amongst the clans of Judah, and out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Can I encourage those of you that are looking for a different way, a better way, a new way, that start looking at every little thing in your life and understand that God might not come down Main Street of your life. God might come through the back alley to the back door of your life, and he might not look like God when he shows up. That opportunity might not look big when it shows up, but in an unlikely place called Bethlehem, the greatest man to ever live was born. And out of the most unlikely places of your life, the greatest revival, greatest awakening, greatest destiny, greatest blessing, greatest favor, greatest move of God can happen from the most unlikely places. Number two, not only unlikely places, unlikely people. Joseph, a carpenter, Mary, a sophomore in high school, 16 years of age. Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3, they said, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" Talking about Joseph and Jesus. Luke 1:34, Mary asked the question to Gabriel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The most unlikely people to bring Jesus to the forefront. When you look at the lineage of Jesus, there are some questionable people in that lineage. Not only is Joseph a carpenter, not only has Mary not done anything noteworthy, but he's got prostitutes in his lineage. He's got people that have bad reputations, that have done some bad things. But God said, "I'm not as concerned with who comes before him. I'm concerned with who comes after him. I'm concerned of what comes out of him." And can I encourage you that the person holding the microphone is one of the most unlikeliest people to be doing what I am today. And you say, "Well, you came from a saved, spirit-filled family." Oh, but if you've known the road I've walked for almost 40 years, you would say it's an unlikely predicament that he would be standing on a stage on Sunday preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, if you're a nobody, you're exactly who God has called you to be. And God can bring the greatest blessing out of the biggest nobodies and make them somebody to tell everybody about Jesus. And finally, after unlikely places, unlikely people, comes the unlikely process, the virgin birth. Something that the Catholics have embraced to the point that they embrace Mary and the virgin birth sometimes more in a tighter grasp than they would grasp Jesus. But an unlikely process. Can I encourage you in 2020, as we head into 2021, trust the process. If God has given you a dream, trust the process. You say, "I didn't know the process was going to be like this." That's all right. Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, would have picked another process. I'm sure if Mary could have written her story, she would have had her wedding day. They would have gone on their honeymoon. And 2 months after their honeymoon, they would have been able to share on Instagram and Twitter, "It is our bet. We are pregnant, and we're going to have Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, is going to show up." But she couldn't do that. Why? Because before a man ever touched her, God touched her, and the process started, a difficult process, difficult to explain, difficult to define. But when Jesus shows up and starts bringing dead men out the grave, starts unstopping ears, I'm sure Mary was like, "Okay, God." Remember when he turned water into wine, Mary said, "Hey, it's time that you do something great. It's time that you be what God has created you to be." And Mary unleashed, out of an unlikely process came the greatest blessing this world has ever seen. Stand on your feet. The way comes to unlikely places, to unlikely people, in an unlikely process. The way has showed up in 2020 in a big way. God didn't create COVID or send COVID, but I believe he's used COVID to bring people close to him. "God, I don't like the process, oh, but I love the result. God, I don't like the uncertainty, but God, I love what I'm feeling from you right now. I hear your voice loud and clear, clearer than I've ever heard it. Seeing things I've never seen before." The way was born 2,000 years ago and is still alive today. Church, allow Jesus to be the way in your life in every area. Jesus, the way, sped up time and he turned water into wine. That means Jesus will expedite the process. Jesus, the way, walked on water when they needed him. That means Jesus will show up. The way will show up in a storm. Jesus, the way helped Peter pull in a large catch of fish. Jesus, that means Jesus, the way will show up at your job. Jesus, the way healed lepers, he even touched them. Jesus is a physical healer. The way he delivered multiple people from demons. Jesus isn't afraid of our evil spirits. He fed 20,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus can do a lot with a little. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The way brings life to dead things always. The way healed Peter's mother-in-law. Yep, Jesus will even work in your in-law. He healed a woman with an issue of blood, a man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus will break the cycle no matter how long you've been suffering. He paid the taxes with gold out of a fish's mouth. Jesus will take care and meet your financial needs with abundance. He raised a widow's dead son. He raised Jairus' dead daughter. He delivered children who were possessed by evil spirits. Yes, Jesus will work in your children. Jesus, the way ministered healing to a woman who had been married 5 times, Jesus will work in your relationships. He opened up blinded eyes, giving physical and spiritual vision. He delivered Mary Magdalene from 7 demonic spirits. Jesus won't hold your past against you. He'll deliver you. Jesus, the way, went to the cross. Jesus, the way, went to the grave. Jesus, the way, went to hell. Jesus, the way, resurrected. Jesus, the way, ascended. Jesus, the way, intercedes for us right now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, the way, showed up at the upper room, and Jesus is in this room today. He is the way. If you're looking for a better way, a different way, a new way, if you've been saying there is no way, let me introduce you. He's not in a manger anymore. He outgrew the manger a long time ago. Let me tell you how big God is. He's not on the cross anymore. He outgrew the cross many years ago. He is alive in this place today. He still has the wounds in his hands. He still has the wounds in his feet. If you look at his forehead, there's a couple crinkles where the thorns went in as a testimony. I was dead, but the way made a way, and you can't keep him down, and he wants to invade your life today. Gotta be a better way. Gotta be a different way. I'm done. If you're in this house today, I can't think of a better service to give your life to Jesus Christ than the last Sunday before Christmas. There's no Christmas without Jesus. You might get a day off of work, but there's no Christmas without Jesus. You might get that new iPhone. There's no Christmas without Jesus. You're just exchanging gifts. You're rearranging chairs. But I want to encourage you, there is a Jesus that wants to meet you today. He's been following you all the days of your life. You look like him. You talk like him. You sound like him. He wants to be a part of your life. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that everybody would bow their heads. I hardly ever do this, but I feel it so strongly right now that today's a Jesus Sunday for somebody. You've been wandering through life without the answers to so many questions. Before COVID ever showed up, life was tough. Relationships were hard. Not enough money. Jobs came and went. Sleepless nights. Tears you cried, nobody knew about. Maybe addictions that nobody knew about. And you've been looking for something. Well, I want to tell you that there is a way, and his name is Jesus. When you give your life to him, not only do you get a first-class ticket to heaven for eternity with Jesus, but you now have access to Jesus on this earth. He becomes a very present help in the times of trouble. And I believe that there are some people with their head bowed right now. Nobody is looking at you, but God right now is looking at you, and he's asking, will you look back? And I'm going to count to 3 in just a moment, and I need everybody that does not know Jesus that would like to receive Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. I also want those that have fallen away and you've, as the world would call, backslide, as the church would say, you've backslidden. You've just fallen away from God, and you're ready to put God first again. I'm talking to you too, but on the count of 3, I'm going to ask you, nobody's looking at you. This is you and God's moment right now. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand at the count of 3. I don't want you to think about it. If you know God is ministering to you right now, I want that hand to go up in the air. 1, 2, 3. Put it up right now. Hands going up all over the building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow. 11, 12. First time guest hands are up. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 hands have gone up. All right. Everybody up. Everybody looking around. 22 hands went up. I'm going to ask those 22 to take a 50-step, 20-step trip down to this altar. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm going to stay 6 feet away from